Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have an open forum this hour. If you want to talk about that voting situation, I think it might be kind of interesting. What do you think about the decision last week by Ohio Secretary of State John Husted to suspend two Montgomery County Elections Board members who voted to expand early voting hours to weekends, despite his directive to the contrary? Earlier today as well, those two board members were at a meeting to decide their fates. Apparently that meeting is still going on. We just heard a report from Jo Ingles. We were hoping to get her on this hour to talk about that, but that might not happen. So what do you think? Should the hours be expanded? Daryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch wrote about the issue of accommodating the schedules of people across the state and the question of whether or not it matters was addressed. As Jo Ingles noted, in 2008, 93,000 Ohioans voted on the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the official election day. Some say that's what helped push Barack Obama into the winners category in the state of Ohio, which, of course, is a very important state in a presidential election. So give us a call and tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Doug Price, he's the chairman of the Franklin County Republican Party and an elections board member who voted against the weekend hours here, sent an email to the Dispatch. It was at least a segment of that email was printed in the Dispatch or reported by the Dispatch in the Daryl Rowland story yesterday. He writes, "I guess I really actually feel we shouldn't contort the voting process to accommodate the urban, read African-American, voter turnout machine. Let's be fair and reasonable," he said. What do you think? 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to our Facebook page. We have an open forum this hour. And interested in talking about that voting issue. They're having the hearing right now at the Secretary of State's office for those two Montgomery County Board of Elections officials who voted for the expanded hours there. This didn't seem to be an issue before. Why is it an issue now? Do you think it's an important issue? Not all states have the same kind of voting opportunities. Should all states have equal opportunity to vote? What do you think? Is this kind of a basic issue that hasn't popped up before? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Last week, Secretary of State John Husted directed Ohio's 88 county election boards to keep uniform hours for early in-person voting. He ordered the boards to stay open to 7 p.m. the final 2 weeks before the election, but nixed the weekend hours. And that said, people, critics, including black leaders, say that his decision does not accommodate the schedules of many working people. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org and tell the screener whether you're for or against limiting the voting hours and not having them. I say for or against having voting hours the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before Election Day. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on that? 614-292-8513. David in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi. I was just listening, and although I'm a lawyer, I can't tell you the applicable law in this situation, but it really troubles me that after ordering that the voting not be allowed on weekends, Husted then calls in two officials who voted the other way. Seems to me that it's a violation of their First Amendment rights, and that he should just simply override their vote.
He could have done that. It was a tie. He could have been a tiebreaker.
And the idea that that they're not doing his bidding, I think he's trying to avoid the embarrassment for the obvious effort at voter suppression, which is, I think, what's going on in Ohio. I think that there's going to be every effort to make it hard for Democrats to vote on the days that are now not going to be available to get them to stay home. I don't think there's any other motivation.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, David.
Sure.
That's an interesting point that David's making. Why not just let the Board of Elections go ahead and vote the way they're going to vote, despite the edict or the directive, I suppose, that came down earlier in the week? What difference does it make? He can just go forward and break each tie if it turns out to be a tie. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you're calling, just be patient. We're going to get you right away. We just had a little flurry there. So be patient. My screener is coming your way any minute now. Anthony in Pataskala, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
This is a great conversation. This is the thing. We just might as well call it, you know, exactly what it is. If it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. This is blatant discrimination, however way you want to put it. If you're not going to do exactly what the Republicans want, it's kind of skewed, and it's hypocritical because you have a guy that's running for vice president that says everybody should take care of themselves. You know, God bless him. His father died, and he received Social Security payments.
You're talking about Paul Ryan.
Yeah, so
but what does this have to do with the voting thing?
It's a hypocritical thing. You might as well just say exactly what it is. This is discrimination, voter suppression, and I'll tell you, I'm an independent, and it's not right either way. If this were the Democrats doing the same thing, I would say the same exact thing. It's just voter discrimination.
Do you think, why not? I mean, isn't that enough time 2 weeks beforehand? Can't you squeeze it? Why do you think people can't find time to vote? In the olden days, when I first started voting, it was just one day.
The irony of it is this. It worked so well during 2010. It worked so well during 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, Barack Obama is up for re-election, and they've got to change the rules for some reason. It's kind of, you know, ironic, wouldn't you think?
Well, it's something that's supposed to be left up to the counties. Are you saying it's something that shouldn't be left up to the counties, that we should have a firm law that makes all the counties equal?
I mean, I don't know if you can get that deep into it, but just like Dave said, I mean, those guys, their rights are being discriminated against, you know, because they're not doing his bidding, you know. And it wasn't that big of a deal in 2008. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that big of a deal in 10, but all of a sudden we're up for re-election, and here it goes. And it's just small tactics everywhere, you know. And if you break it down, they'll get you. It's, you know, oh, we got you on this tactic. Oh, we'll get you on this tactic. And it's discrimination, really. That's what it is. And the irony of it is, this has nothing to do with black or white. This is just voting discrimination completely.
Okay. All right, Anthony. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, listen, thanks.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. The screener's getting to everybody now. Make sure you let her know. Are you for or against the more limited voting hours? David in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think you actually hit my point on the head there with the fact that when I first started voting, first off, it's such a privilege to be able to vote, and we did only have one day, and everyone seemed to make it to the polls on that day. The issue, I guess, that I have more than anything is that it seems to me, I'm under the impression that this is just turning into a racial issue, in the sense that they're saying to suppress that it's to suppress the African American vote. And I mean, I guess one point on that would be it is a statistical fact that there are more unemployed African Americans in this country why they wouldn't be able to get to the polls is beyond me. I work odd hours, but usually 10 to 11 a day, and I am able to make sure that when it comes to the election, I'm able to get to the poll. I think that it does open up a huge opportunity for voter fraud by having numerous days, people voting twice, especially with the same people who are complaining about this issue of not being able to have multiple days are the ones who don't want you to have to show an ID or, you know, and that's a completely different issue.
Well, it is a different issue, and I'm not sure that that is exactly, you know, the case, but I wanted to get back to the issue of who's hurt by this and whether or not, you know, the issue is it did work in 2008. There haven't been, as far as I know, a lot of issues about any kind of manipulation of the vote or any kind of voter fraud. The concern that Secretary of State John Husted had, and, you know, I'm open, obviously, for correction, is that it was the cost, and he was concerned about the cost to the individual county boards of elections. So voter fraud hasn't been brought up before. That has not been an issue. It was considered very successful in 2008.
Well, I think if you go back and you study the numbers on the last election or a presidential election, you'll find that in the state of Ohio, there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, of individuals who showed up on the registrations that were deceased, voting more than one time. I think cost is an issue. We've all got to tighten our buckles here and watch our wallets, and we're constantly talking about the budgets in the state and the different municipalities, and it does cost to have those mm-hmm. facilities open. And now most of the voter, the people at the poll watchers are typically volunteers,
mm-hmm.
But it does, you know, require to have a facility, electricity, the doors open, what have you. And I think that, honestly, if people want to get to, or truly want to vote, if you have a 2 or 3 day window and you've got absentee ballots, there's plenty of opportunity to vote out there. I just think that this is a distraction.
Okay.
And I'll take your response off the air. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, David. Thanks for calling. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We can also get your question or comment via Facebook, or you can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. We're standing by ready to check out those tweets. We will be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, talk again of an Israeli strike against Iran. The U.S. pulled in quick and a big October surprise in campaign season. We'll ask what's bluster and what's real. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point is this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 70 degrees with sunshine and a high of 82 today. There is a chance of a shower popping up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight with still a chance of rain, a low of 58 degrees. Partly sunny with a slight chance of afternoon showers on Tuesday and a high of 80 degrees. Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, offering perspective in a time of economic uncertainty to help grow and maintain wealth. More information is available at themontgomerysolution.com. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the voting hours issue in the state of Ohio. Late last week, Ohio Secretary of State John Husted suspended two Montgomery County Elections Board members who voted to expand early voting hours to weekends. Those two members are in Columbus today at the Secretary of State's office at a hearing. the Secretary of State had put out a directive earlier saying not to expand them. They voted to expand them despite that directive. What do you think about that? Should they have been able to go ahead and vote anyways on that issue? Lawyers for the Obama campaign and the Democratic National Committee were in federal court last week saying that it's unconstitutional for Ohio to allow military voters to cast in-person early ballots on that Saturday through Monday period before Election Day while voting for all the others ends at Friday. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Daryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch brought up an issue. He said in his article yesterday, but from a political and perhaps cultural standpoint, not all absentee ballots are created equal. Republicans are much more likely to mail their absentee ballots, while Democrats and African Americans prefer to cast their absentee ballots in person. They'd rather do it in person. Should that be accommodated is the question. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Emmanuel in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. You know, in 2008, we didn't hear anything about voter fraud, right? There's no record for all those information when it comes to that. It kind of surprised me right now that suddenly, because the Republicans are in power, that we suddenly have all these issues coming up, ID cards and blah, blah, blah coming up. I don't know how it works, how in the old time it's okay, but right now we want to make sure that nobody has time to vote. Sundays and Saturdays, I don't see anything wrong with that, you know. You know, the secretary didn't tell us there's something wrong with what, you know, voting on Saturday and Sunday. I work from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening in the hospital. With that kind of time, when can I vote? I don't know how that will work. So,
You're right. Voter fraud was not raised as a concern. The Secretary of State raised as a concern the cost. What about that cost, though, Emmanuel?
But let me ask you, is there any value, cost value to the constitutional rights of any citizens of the United States? Is there any cost you can attach to freedom?
Priceless, right?
Priceless. So if it costs us millions of dollars to make sure that all citizens can vote, that is a good thing. If we spend money to stop them from voting, it's a wrong thing. And I don't know how we'll consider what cost is, you know. But it's okay. Let's see how it's going to work.
Well, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Let's see what people have to say. Thanks, Emmanuel, for that call from Westerville. If you'd like to make a call, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we want to hear from everybody. So tell the screener whether you support the voting hours being extended or whether you oppose the voting hours being extended. Ginny and Bexley are on the air. Welcome to the show, Ginny.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think that we need to encourage people to vote. Our country does not do well in supporting our democratic institutions, and we need to help get out the vote. I'm sure that there are many elderly people or people without transportation who may be able to catch a ride with a neighbor or a family member if they have the weekend. But once school starts and once people are back to work, it can be really hard to have to go across the city to get family members to vote. And so I know there's a cost. Well, there's a cost to everything. And if anything, we want to support our democratic institutions so that our country can continue to be democratic and don't give up our precious right to vote and to encourage people to vote.
All right. Ginny, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank
you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Daryl Rowland in his story wrote that a study by the Franklin County Board of Elections shows that 48% of early in-person votes in 2008 were cast after hours on weekends. On weekends or on the Monday before the election, almost none of which is available to 2012 voters. Big change coming up between the 2008 election, when Barack Obama was elected president, and the 2012 election in the state of Ohio. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We want to hear from everybody. So far, most of the folks calling think that the hours should be expanded. If you disagree, give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I agree with Secretary Houston in one regard, and that is there ought to be standards that apply across the state.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with him regarding the limitation. For years and years, we've all spoken about how the voting participation rate in the United States falls far below a lot of other countries, particularly European countries. And it seems to me that giving any opportunity for people to vote, I think, is really important. I think the cost issue is a red herring. I think if you took a look at the actual cost of what it takes to keep a building open and to use the volunteers, I think it's fairly minimal. I am a little concerned about Franklin County and the location of its remote voting. I heard, and I'm not sure this is accurate, that they were moving it to a location up along Morris Road instead of downtown at the courthouse. And last year there was a lot of voting at Betts Memorial.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that the location be as accessible to as many voters as possible, which means both parking as well as being on a bus line. And I'd like to see where they're going to locate it for Franklin County just to make sure that it is accessible. So I generally agree with most of the folks. I think Secretary Houston wants to run for governor, and I think he is trying to develop a good balance between an extreme position on this issue, and I think he's right on standards. I think it's a basic right that we ought to be promoting.
Do you ever wonder why we're always doing this right before the election?
Well, of course. I mean, the whole darn thing has been politicized, whether it's hours of voting or whether it's redistricting. When the Democrats are in power, they redistrict to their benefit. When the Republicans are in power, they redistrict to their benefit. I think we really need to kind of figure out how we depoliticize this. I've not read the item that's going to be on the ballot, so I'm not exactly sure where that's going to be. But it seems to me we need to get the politics out of it. Nobody wants to deal with it when there's not an election coming up.
Right. Exactly. Mark, thanks for your call.
All right. Take care.
Take care. 614-292-8513. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have a tweet from Plunderbund, who's a blogger listening to the show, and they say, FYI, there were never tens of thousands, that's in quote, of instances of people voting twice and dead people voting in Ohio. Caller was wrong. And Plunderbund, you're right. That's true. There were not issues about voter fraud back in 2008, per se. The cost is what the Secretary of State is citing as a reason to limit the hours this time. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513. Larry in Circleville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Larry.
You're quite welcome. I'm glad to be there. Here's my two cents. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Listen, when they send ballots off to the troops, you got to have time for them to get there, and you got to have time for them to return those ballots.
Right.
Because they're all over the place and in different countries and all. Now, as far as saving money, let's do it this way. Monday and Tuesday, they close. Okay, keep it open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so the people can get there during the weekend. They can't get there during the week.
Okay.
And all.
So
just keep it, do it that way.
You think they should keep it open then?
I think they should keep it open, but if they want to save money, don't do it on Monday and Tuesday, but do it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The week before.
Huh?
The week before.
Yeah, and the week before.
Okay. All right.
But
in other words, the weekends are a different day of the week for a lot of people. They don't work or, they just all the different schedules. So you open it up on the weekend so all the people who tend to vote on weekends will have that opportunity.
Right.
And all the other people who vote during the week, well, just don't give them so many days, cut back on that way.
In other words, you start from Wednesday to Sunday to vote.
Okay.
And then Monday, Tuesday, you save money that way and you just don't vote on Monday and Tuesday.
You know, an earlier caller, I think it was Emmanuel from Westerville, said, what price the opportunity to vote, that it's priceless. I think that was the word I threw out there. But what do you think? I mean,
well, this is what, now, if they want to get technical and the lawyer wants to get on them, about it and on this everything. Because the Constitution of the United States says you have the right to vote. And
it's not a privilege, by the way. It is a right.
It is a right. And so, in other words, okay, now those people who didn't vote Monday and Tuesday, they can go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday or Sunday to vote.
Okay.
And they'll save money on the 2 days.
All right.
For us, they'll get everybody who's who couldn't get down there because of their shift.
Right.
And so I don't see what the big deal is on that. It's just close the other Monday and Tuesday, shut down on Monday and Tuesday, and open up from Wednesday to Sunday.
All right. Well, Larry, thanks for your idea.
You're quite welcome.
We got some others. Thanks for calling. An email from Todd. He says, in 2004, I stood in line in a Democratic Columbus district for over 6 hours to vote. For 4 hours, I could see the door and saw about 100 people leave at the sight of long lines and the idea of standing in the rain to vote. My parents in Republican-leaning Reynoldsburg took less than 10 minutes to vote. That same year, the Secretary of State, Ken Blackwell, said voter registrations were refused if the paper they were printed on was not thick enough until a judge said, stop it. Thanks for that email, Todd. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. I have an email from Debbie. Rather than argue about how many days and hours per week the polls are open and whether or not this contributes to voter fraud, Ohio should adopt the mail-in ballot. It's been proven to be cheaper and definitely easier for voters. Anyone registered would receive a ballot in the mail and use the same identification process as we now do when mailing absentee ballots. What's not to like? Well, that's an interesting question. By the way, just to reiterate, there were not allegations of widespread fraud in 2008 because the voting hours were expanded. I just want to make that clear. Once again, I keep turning back to Daryl Rowland's story. I mean, there is a cultural thing about voting in person now. I think in Oregon, they do all, I think it's Oregon, where they vote by mail. The mail-in vote is the law of the land in Oregon. But a lot of people like to go to vote in person. And in some cases, they like to go and vote with their neighbors or their friends. So there is a cultural issue there. Should we be able, if we want to go and vote when we're able? 614-292-8513. And Angela in Groveport, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The point that I want to make is that I think that we should have a national holiday for the day of voting. Not to exclude any of the other types of voting that you can do, I still think that we should have the time beforehand and mail-in voting. But I also think that it should be a national holiday, that we honor it for what it is. It's an important day. People should have the day off to be able to have the opportunity to go and vote on that day, and there won't be an issue of having to work that day.
Do you think, though, if it's a national holiday, people will just skip voting and go off and, you know, hit the lake for one last weekend or, you know, take a 3-day weekend, you know, like they do with so many national holidays anyways?
That's true, too. But it's on Tuesday. It's hard. If you tie it to a Monday, then yes, you'll do a long weekend.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people do that. But if you maintain it on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And if you're going to prioritize your right to vote, you're going to do it and then go and do whatever activity you have for your day off.
All right. Well, that's been brought up before, and I think in some countries that is the case. In some countries, it's the case that voting goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks.
I don't know why we don't do anything like that. I think it should be our voting and our right to vote should be as simplistic and as easy as possible. There should not be a barrier put to it. It should not be restricted in any capacity.
All right. Angela, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Jack in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm really in favor of them extending the time. On a previous show you had, I had called in. I have to go to France very, very often, 9, 10 times a year. Okay. I was over there when they had the presidential elections. And, you know, there are as many different political parties in the French electorate as there are, I think, electors. But yet they've worked out this rather seamless process where instead of the first Tuesday in November, it's Saturday and Sunday. And it works beautifully. Their voter participation is enormously higher than ours. Now, one thing I want to bring up, give you an analogy. Things like this have happened before. I don't know that it's the province of the Republican Party to pull these tricks, but back in 1969, you remember when Nixon dropped the voting age from 21 to 18.
Right.
Okay. Well, the state of Arizona dug its heels in. It took it to federal court and ultimately lost. They didn't want younger people voting because, as it turned out, the overwhelming majority of younger people were Democrats or voted in the for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just seeing this, you know, from the Republican Secretary of State is a variation on the theme of that.
All right. Well, that's what it's, they're being accused of, politicizing the process at this point.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jack. 614-292-8513. I want to squeeze in an email from Kathy. I do not understand why they had a vote in the first place. If the Secretary of State said they were going to have specific hours, what was the point of the vote? Pardon me. If it was a directive, why did they even take a vote? Personally, I think they should have extended hours. We spend money on loads of dumb things. Voting is too important to be restricted. Okay, well, I think the vote was just... I don't know. I can't speak for them, but my understanding of it is that the vote was to make the point that to be out there because the boards of elections typically do vote on this. And ostensibly, every county in the state of Ohio, all 88 counties could have some variation on the theme of expanded voting hours. Secretary of State John Husted wanted to make it uniform across the state. So the question is someone going to go ahead and do that anyways after this, or are we going to go through this 4 years from now? 614-292-8513. Tim in Worcester, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, thank you. I'm afraid I disagree with nearly everyone I've heard on your show today. I think the vote should be one day only. You should have to pre-register at least a month ahead of time and make arrangements to vote.
Why do you feel that way?
Well, voting is a right, but it's also a responsibility. People should be well informed and able to exercise that responsibility. And you know, all this thing about making it easier to vote just makes all the money that people complain about people spending, it makes that influence people who aren't informed.
When you talk about the money, you mean the money that's spent on the campaigns?
Yes, exactly.
And it makes all the people out there that maybe just were making it too easy for them and they can be more easily influenced that way?
Yes, they're swayed by, you know, all the attack ads that people complain about. And if people took the time to study the issues and the candidates and had one day to vote, you might have to make accommodations for people who are invalid or... you know, can't get to the polling place, mm-hmm. a little absentee validating, you know, I'm sure is necessary.
Right.
But if you want to eliminate fraud completely, then just one day, one vote.
Now, once again, there's the implication that there was fraud associated with the expanded voting hours in 2008. That's not the case.
Well, I'm just saying that just to completely eliminate that possibility, then we don't have to argue about it.
Okay.
You show up with an ID, prove that you're who you are, that you are a registered voter, vote one time, and anyone, you know, we might miss, the participation rate will certainly be lower. But I don't want those people voting myself. And it has nothing to do with ideology. It just has to do with the responsibility involved in being a citizen of the United States.
Okay. Well, Tim, thanks for your call.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We're talking about voter rights in the state of Ohio. We've been hearing that we've been talking about the hearing that's going on at the Secretary of State's office right now. Last week, he sent out a directive, Secretary of State John Husted, saying that calling for uniform hours across the state and eliminating that last Saturday, Sunday, Monday expanded hours in the state of Ohio for voting. And the Board of Elections and Montgomery County went ahead and voted anyways on the issue, and two Democrats voted to expand the hours. Now they've been suspended from their jobs, and they're in Columbus today to find out if they're going to be further punished. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
So I decided to jump out the window in my dream, and as it turns out, in my life.
Mike Birbiglia's Sleepwalk With Me has been a This American Life piece, a one-man show, and now a film which he co-wrote with Ira Glass. On the next Fresh Air, we speak with both. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And watch as predator and prey engage in a struggle for survival. It's Nature, Kalahari, the Flooded Desert. Watch it Wednesday night at 8 on WOSU-TV. You can join All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow. What can we learn about the political landscape from the ever-expanding world of social media? We'll hear from someone who really does count those tweets and posts. That's on Tech Tuesday on All Sides with Ann Fisher. Listen tomorrow from 10 until noon on 89.7 NPR News. Support for 89.7 comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com. Support also comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohioans' uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation in supporting the clinic at goodhealthcolumbus.org. 73 degrees with sunshine, a high of 82 today, and a slight chance of rain. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the voting hours issue in the state of Ohio. It's kind of exploded in the last few days. Last week, Ohio Secretary of State John Husted put out a directive wanting uniformity and in the so doing eliminating that Saturday, Sunday, Monday early voting hours just before the election to Democrats in the county of Montgomery when they voted. Well, they decided to vote on it anyways, and they voted to expand the early voting hours. They've been suspended from their jobs there and are at a hearing today. Now, we've got Peg here from Columbus who says she's been at the hearing. Welcome to the show, Peg.
Thank you. I was there for 2 hours.
Is this Peg from the legal room?
There are a few corrections.
Okay.
They voted in, it was agreed, they voted last December to have weekend hours. I'm not sure it was the last weekend, but they wanted to have weekend hours in
okay.
the month of October, and they were told they couldn't do that.
But, okay.
So that was one. And I have to mention, the guy who just said, well, you should only vote once and you have to show ID. Well, he doesn't know that in Ohio we already have all those protections. And if anybody tries to register illegally, the boards will catch it and they won't ever vote. But what I really wanted to talk about was a group of the advocates sent a letter to the Secretary of State last week asking him to have weekend voting the last 2 weekends of October,
mm-hmm.
but to address the cost issue, allow any Board of Elections that votes unanimously to opt out of weekend elections to be given a waiver so they don't have to, because there are some of the rural counties just don't have to worry about long lines.
Right.
And they can't afford it. Fine. Let them have a waiver, but let it be available for the urban counties who are very concerned. Montgomery County, for instance, has consolidated a lot of their polling places. And now, if they can't have weekend voting, they're afraid they're going to have those long lines like we had in 2004.
Or some people might say, we're shut. People just won't show up.
Well, or they show up and have to go home. Mm-hmm. Or it will even make longer lines on the few days that they do have in-person voting. So this just seemed to us like a logical way to deal with it. It gives everybody the opportunity who needs it and let the others say, no thanks, we don't want to do it.
Is this Peg from League of Women Voters?
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Peg, I forgot your last name is escaping me and I wasn't given it.
Oh, I'm Peg Rosenfield.
Right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And thanks for having the program.
You're welcome. But Peg, could you let us know, is the hearing done?
No.
Okay.
I had to leave.
Wow.
But they were finished with the examination and they were giving the closing statements by the attorneys on both sides. So they should be done shortly after noon.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Peg, for calling.
And they've got lots of media.
Yes. There are a lot of people there right now. Okay.
Thanks again,
Peg. Take care. Vern in Buckeye Lake, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Vern.
And thank God for public TV and radio.
Thank you.
The arrogance of, I think, the caller before last, kind of came to the surface when he said that he really didn't want the people to vote that weren't informed. Informed by what source? It's really an obvious suppression of vote of poor people, especially, and the minorities. A lot of them work at three jobs. There's no way they can get to the voting booth. A lot of them don't have a driver's license or ride a bus. I just think it's obvious suppression.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you so much for your programming.
All right. Vern, thanks a lot for calling.
Bye.
Take care. Sam in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Hi. I was calling because I'm a white female and I work two jobs. And I need extended voter hours. It's absurd when you look at the fact that a bordering state, Pennsylvania, had a guy that said to a group of Republicans, if we have voter ID requirements, if we cut down the voting hours, Mitt Romney will be elected. That is clearly the objective of the Republican Party. And I am appalled at the fact that they want to restrict voting hours. It's our constitutional right to vote. And the idea of making it a national holiday, the hospitals and manufacturing don't shut down for national holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of places don't shut down for holidays.
Right.
So, and the notion that it's, our responsibility to do this. If you have limited transportation, if you're used to going from your church in a carpool at the Sunday services, and banned from the churches, you're restricted if they don't have weekend voting. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
We're going to get to as many of these calls as we can. Ian in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, thanks for calling.
This is actually perfect timing to take mine because I also wanted to give a testimonial about needing voter extended voter hours. I really think it applies to students, and especially poor students who have to work. My girlfriend, very educated, bachelor's degree from Ohio University, also went on to get her culinary degree, and she's a very accomplished baker with Jenny's here in town now. And she works 18 hours a day while she's in school, including her school and work during the week, and so she needs that weekend time. And I really do think it's concentrated voter suppression, and I think it's concentrated on, frankly, the young people who have already had their futures mortgaged by past generations of voters who really had no interest in looking at the very long term at issues like global warming, like information security, things that are going to define a time period after, frankly, many Republican constituents will be dead. And
now you're getting morbid. All right. Well, that's interesting. You bring up the students. A lot of student voters, or they wish there were a lot of student voters. And you're saying that students work jobs. They're going to school. They're even more limited.
And that earlier person who said, you know, he works 10 or 11 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and he can't think of anyone who can't find the time to vote. Well, the very fact that he can think of a range in the amount of time he might be working per day clearly shows that his schedule is much more flexible than any minimum wage or hourly employee that I can think of. I never have met anyone my age that has an hourly rate job where they're like, oh, I might work this many hours this week. You don't have a choice about that.
Interesting yeah. point. Fixed hours. Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
cool.
Ian, you waited a long time. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. 614-2. Well, we're running out of time. I want to get to all of my calls. Let's try Jackie on 2. Hi, Jackie. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I am one mad elder.
Okay.
Okay. I am a white female, and both are important, I think, in this at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I am an elder that's not driving. I am not on a bus line to get there, and my voting site is not on a bus line. I need help. And I know there's lots of other people in my same predicament. They need people who can take them on a Saturday or a Sunday when they are not working.
Well, Jackie, let me ask you this. What about, you know, mailing? I mean, doing absentee voting by mail?
I could do that, but if you do that, there are things that come up at the last minute that you want to take into consideration.
Okay.
And some people commute, so they're, you know, they don't get home in time.
Mm-hmm.
There are... I don't know. There's just a lot of reasons why there is extra time needed. And I do think it's a very deliberate suppression of vote. My dad was a Republican, so I registered as a Republican. I registered as soon as I could.
Mm-hmm.
I have voted pretty much independently, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm mad enough now at the Republicans that I would... If it says R, I'm going to vote against them, or I won't vote for them. I'm just that angry at some of the stuff they're pulling. And it's, you know, the blacks feel it's to their detriment. A lot of women feel that there's no sympathy or empathy, better said, for women voters. And I just, you know... I'm just really angry.
All right. Well, let's get to some other callers.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your call.
Mm-hmm.
Take care, Jackie. 614-292-8513. Let's talk to James in Pickerington. Hi, James. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I've been listening to this, you know, on my actual way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my thing is this, is that I'm actually against extending the voting hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm against it is that at some point you have to have a certain limit to what you're going to do to accommodate people. I work second shift, very hard sometimes. But I think if people are really wanting to vote, if that's their true desire to get out there and cast their ballot, they're going to find a way. I think that I've been listening to a lot of people say, well, I have this, I have this, I have that. There's no way that a county or a city can accommodate everybody's situation. And I think, you know, I've been hearing people say, well, if the voting's set up the way it is now, the Republicans are going to win. And it's like, this is just silly, because if you truly have the desire to vote, if you truly want your voice to be heard, you're going to find a way. I mean, that's what America is about. It's about hard work. It's about getting out there, doing what you want to do, not letting anything get in your way. And the more I hear about, well, let's do this to help these people, it just gets kind of out of hand.
James, now in 2008,
yeah,
they had all this expanded voting. I mean,
right.
Why did you have a problem with it back in 2008? That's the question. I mean, they did it before. What's the diff? Why not just do it again?
I didn't have a problem with it back in 2008. I think that when I'm hearing people now say, well, if we have the extended, then the Republicans will win, the Republican Party will win, or all the, you know, people calling in saying, well, I have this issue, I have that issue. And the reason is not that I necessarily have, you know, I'm against it because so many people are wanting to extend it based on all their situations. And what I mean by that is I don't think that you could put so much pressure on a city or a county or a state to accommodate every single voter. Like I said before, you know, earlier someone had said it's our right, and it is a right to vote, but it is also a privilege to vote. It's not something that was just handed to us. It's something that people had to fight for. So I think that it is a privilege, and with a privilege comes responsibility in making sure that you're able to get there. I don't think it's a right where the city or county has to give it to us, has to make sure we're able to vote. I think it's a privilege. I think we have the opportunity to be able to go out and cast our vote, and we should be very appreciative that we can do that and not make so many excuses on why we're not able to do it.
Okay. Well, James, thanks for your call. I want to squeeze one more person in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Let's see. Abraham in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Abraham.
Yes, this is Abraham. What I'm talking about is not about the cost. Okay. It's just that they want to disenfranchise some voters not to vote, because if it was the cost, the United States government is spending millions or billions of dollars overseas in war and stuff like that. Why can they not offer 2 days for their citizens to have the right to vote? You see, that is my argument. My argument that is not for the cause. There is a hidden agenda. Right. And secondly, I don't think they should have an independent body to organize or take this crucial decision, not the Secretary of State or any political party, either the Democrat or the Republican.
Well, who should decide then?
And they should have a committee that will be headed by an independent body to decide that, because if I'm a Republican, I have to decide this type of situation. I would try to have it on my own advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, I'm originally from Sierra Leone. We have the Independent Electoral Commission, which decide in any electoral process, not any political party or the Secretary of the State or the Minister of Internal Affairs.
Abraham, you said Israel?
No, Sierra Leone, West Africa.
Okay, Sierra Leone. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, so it can be independent. That's, you know, every country's a little bit different, but that's interesting to hear. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Take care, Abraham.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to squeeze one more in. Let's see. I guess Omar, you've been waiting the longest. How about that? Hi, Omar. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. We're running out of time, but I wanted to squeeze you in.
Thank you so much. Thank you for getting my call in. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes. I do think we need to have Saturday and Sunday days to vote. We do need them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no reason for a country like USA to not afford 2 days. I mean, the third world country in Africa, they're doing it. Why can't we do it? This is a country that stands for freedom. Just 2 more days. Mm-hmm. How much is that going to cost? Well, let's add a few cents on our taxes then, just to afford those 2 days, if mm-hmm. that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need to have 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Person like me, I go work every morning, and I won't come back until like 6, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I don't have Saturday and Sunday to vote, I mean, I either have to do absentee ballot or not vote at all.
All right. Well, Omar, that's all the time we have.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Omar, for calling. And thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for all your great calls and your emails. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.